square dancing is not one of the things that immediately pop to mind when you talk about New York City. But for some New Yorkers, square dancing has been an integral part of their lives. WNYC's Alec Hamilton has that story.
On a Tuesday night at the Fashion Institute of Technology, Manhattan's only square dance group is a twirling, whooping blur of white shirts and shorts. The Times Squares are a dance club, originally started at the Lesbian and Gay Center in 1984.
It's not an easy way to contact other gay men except going to a bar or some local hangout, you know, some places on the street where you knew somebody would be if you were looking just for somebody for sex. But in order to meet somebody for anything more than casual sex, there weren't that many possibilities.
82-year-old Alain Bazard has been dancing with the Times Squares for 28 years. The retired professor is 6'4", with bright, intelligent eyes that radiate an air of mischief and generosity.
There was one member, older member, but he had double knee replacement and hasn't come back, so that happens in life.
Yeah. Touch one quarter. That boy run around that girl. Clap three times.
The club dances the same traditional steps as were danced 200 years ago in the New England barns of pioneer settlers. Back then, the dances were a spot of light in the dark woods, a reason to kick up your heels with your neighbors after a long week of hard work. Times Square's dancers now range from their 40s to their 80s. Larry Peterson is the only founder who still dances regularly with the group, nearly 30 years later.
At special events, sometimes we find a few of the other old-timers who come out of the woodwork. But on an ongoing basis, I'm the only one left.
Peterson says that first class had about 38 people, almost all men. Most were in their early 30s.
There were some experienced square dancers who were coming to these events who knew that there was a lot more to square dancing than do-si-do and Alaman left. So
the members started a formal class. That's when Bazard joined.
I went in with trepidation because of that. How hokey. Please, I am a sophisticated New Yorker. What do I have to do with swing your partner round and round? And the whole point was that when I got there, I found out how much fun it was. It was just so much fun.
Pass the ocean mirror. With the right hand, your hinge.
As all square dancers discover, square dancing is a great venue for getting friendly, with so many opportunities for a touch on the arm or a little eye contact.
Please. Flirting, I mean, walk around your corner, seesaw your taw, I mean, those are calls. So if you're walking around someone and you're looking at them with flirtatious eyes, it's the perfect way to flirt.
Peterson says in the early days, the group would take that fun to the then rough-and-tumble West Village, where they would set up and perform.
We used to dance on the piers at Christopher Street and West, which doesn't exist anymore. The way it was, a mess, and no one went there except for, gay people. And we would have a sound box. And we'd have at least a square of people, and we would just dance out there on Sunday afternoons, and people would come by and watch, and we got a lot of our recruits that way.
After mastering the basic steps, students learn advanced, then challenge level, with over 600 individual steps, plus formations.
Suddenly, you'll go from these very strange-looking formations and the call, and everybody moves correctly, and ha-ha, it's like being in a kaleidoscope. Out of chaos comes order. And that's one of the things that's so lovely in square dancing.
The Times Squares grew. At one point, there were nearly 600 members. They began visiting straight square dance clubs across New York and New Jersey, but Bazard says they weren't always well-received.
Several of us got up to dance, and nobody would come and dance with us. People would say, okay, let's sit down. I said, no, I'm standing right here. I got really adamant about it. It's their club. We're here to visit them. They can dance with us. And they did eventually get up and dance with us. And that was the same night that two people from this group took me off in private and said, my daughter is gay, and my favorite nephew is gay. Nowadays, they'd admit it immediately because it's now socially acceptable.
Photos of the group in the early days show rows of men smiling in checkered cowboy shirts bedecked with sequins. Pointing to one, then another, Peterson lists those who have passed away.
There was a period, I have to say AIDS really did ravage our club. My first partner died of AIDS, and he was in the first class in 85, and he died in 86.
As the years have passed, some have even found that dancing can help people cope with the death of a loved one.
I talked to someone recently who had started square dancing after the death of their long-term partner and found it life-saving.
Having breathed fresh life into a forgotten art, the group now finds they're having trouble enticing the next generation. Bizard says these days, 40 members is a good turnout.
Square dancing in general seems to be in its death throes. And I think part of the reason is that you meet people online now. My hope is that people will recognize the fact that you need contact with real-life people. And square dancing is a lovely way to do that.
This fall, the Times Squares will hold their annual event, Peel the Pumpkin. They invite clubs around the country to come dance with them, getting to know each other, something like in those New England barns 200 years ago. For WNYC, I'm Alec Hamilton.